Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Lane to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, mental health resilience, discovering your true essence, and much, much more. So a quick introduction to Lane. So Lane is a long time trailblazer in the field of therapeutic arts, Lane Gardner, an award-winning arts educator, motivational speaker, singer, songwriter, author, and nonprofit entrepreneur, is an emerging voice in a world where innovative solutions to our rising mental health crisis are desperately needed. She is a fierce advocate for helping people uncover, recover, and discover their original superpower and creative expression. So welcome to the show today, Lane. It's a pleasure to have you on, as I was just saying. So yeah, first of all, really interesting to hear. You've obviously got you're doing some great work out there, like trying to help a lot of people. Be really interesting to hear a little bit around what your drive is, what's kind of inspired you to get into helping people with mental resilience, with the mental health crisis. Yeah, that'd be a really good point to start off with.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me, Johnny. It's my pleasure to be here. I would say sort of my whole life has been about being focused on mental health. Kind of just give you a quick sort of, history of my past and why I ended up focusing on creative expression and also mental health. In my early life, I had a really traumatic upbringing. Believe it or not, I was actually raised for quite a few years in a fundamentalist religious cult, which was incredibly damaging to my emerging, developing young spirit at the time, as I'm sure many of your listeners could imagine. But when I was younger, I found my way into the arts. My family were quite a collection of self-taught musicians, so I sort of grew up already knowing the power of music and creativity and doing that with other people. But kind of as a way to survive and get out of the house, I found myself moving into the arts, into community theater, into studying voice and music and all of that. And what I realized over the course of my early life was that was really the lifeline, which shameless little plug about my new book, which is called Lifeline, where I talk about how using the arts and one's innate creativity was really the lifeline that sort of helped me to get through my early life in such a traumatic and damaging home life. And so over the years, as I, sort of went through my first career as a professional singer actor, and then ultimately ended up, starting to work with a lot of people and teach the arts and also through a nonprofit situation where we were sort of bringing the power of creativity to people, really just understanding that our own creative expression is a way that we can help ourselves get through difficult things, that we can know ourselves more, we can learn more about who we really are, what our true essence is, and how to help ourselves to navigate the ups and downs of our mental health on a daily basis. And also to, really sort of be able to tap into the power of who we truly are. And so that's sort of my journey through my difficult past and into why I do this now. I've lived it for all the years that I've been alive, and I've witnessed it in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people and adults over the years. And it's sort of a really, really powerful avenue for people to know that they have within them.
I love that. I love how you went out there, you're able to be creative and find out more about who you were. And then now you're in that situation where you're able to help others to do the same. So loving that. And I'm really keen on the subject of like true essence and trying to discover who we are, because I personally found it quite difficult. I know many people I spoke to have found it quite a difficult thing to do. So One thing that I often hear from people, and I've definitely been in this boat myself, is this kind of almost a sense of like, I'm a little bit lost in life. I'm a little bit lost of who I am. And then we just get caught like thinking like, where do we want to go? Who are we ultimately? For that individual who's perhaps really, really stuck, caught in that kind of overthinking pattern, maybe it is, and like really stuck, how could they move forward with that?
I think that it's such a common experience for all of us. And I think a lot of it comes from the way we kind of our early life, right? We're often told who to be, how to be, how to live our life, whether that's from authority figures, family members, teachers, mentors, society, commercials, right? Like advertisements, right? Like the impact that we're constantly receiving is, this is who you should be. This is what's expected of you. So I think one of the things that I talk about a lot in the book is this idea that we've sort of been covered over, you know, by all these other ideas. And so that really messes with our mental health, right? It can really create a lot of havoc, whether that be through feeling misaligned, feeling like something's missing and you kind of can't put your finger on it, but you feel that you're just not quite, you just quite don't really have your sense about you. It can create a great deal of depression in people as well, to not have access to that true essence, to that part of ourselves that is complete, that is full, right? And so one of the things that I always sort of in my line of work where I'm using the arts and creativity as an avenue to get inside of yourself. And one of the things I always say is that creative expression isn't about being an artist, right? It's not about, oh, let me go, you know, be a painter. Let me go sing like Beyonce, right? I think a lot of times as adults, we feel intimidated by this idea of, oh, I'm not creative anymore. I used to do that as a kid, but I can't do that anymore, right? And so this idea of using creative expression as your unique, perfect toolbox for going within, right? And that doesn't mean you have to go and paint a painting in order to know who you are. You can, you know, there's any kind of creative expression, like dancing in the kitchen, right? Put Spotify on and just shake it out for a little bit and get into your inner, your that sort of flow state, right? Where you're sort of doing something and you're forgetting all of these layers of who you are supposed to be out there, right? And so any kind of creative expression is a way that we can get into knowing ourselves more and access these treasures and these tools and these resources that are the true us, right? And that is a way that we can get to know those parts of ourselves and feel less misaligned or less like ourselves, which is how we sort of have this mental health crisis where we're just not able to be who we truly are. So I always try to make a case for, you know, doing something that puts you in a flow state, a creative state, is going to help you access those answers that you're seeking, that you're missing, the parts of yourself that you don't even know that you're missing. Right? And that's the cool thing about using creativity, is it gets you beneath the surface of your mind that kind of functions on a daily basis. And you can tap into this inner wisdom, this inner knowing that already has the answers that you're looking for. It's a cool way to think about it. It doesn't have to be hard work. It could be fun. Fun way to get to know yourself, you know?
Yeah. I think we can... I've certainly been there, and people I've worked with as well have been conditioned that everything's got to be hard. A lot of the time there's a lot of stress conditioned. I personally felt that, you know, even to this day I still have to work for a little bit. But yeah, I like what you said about it doesn't need to be hard, and your example of dancing, for me, I found writing quite effective, like just writing, you know, even blogs sometimes I'm like, I was actually able to express me, and I felt more connected to the heart. So yeah, I guess for the individual, it's specific, right? For how they like to be creative.
I always say to people, follow follow the passions that you're already interested in, the curiosities, the things that you already naturally are gravitating to. Go into that a little deeper and take yourself into a space where you can kind of be, you know, checking out of this outer experience, which helps you check into your inner experience, right? And it could be anything. It could be gardening. It could be decorating a cake, making a beautiful meal where you're crafting that exact way you want to plate that food on the plate, right? Anything where you're contributing your essence to it, you know, in just the way that you can. And I think that's the cool thing about this idea, where it doesn't have to be hard. It can be going into a space that you already feel good about, that you already feel excited about, and seeing more of what you can bring to that by taking the judgment out of it and being like, oh, that's not how it looks on, you know, TV, or that's not how these other people do it. Like, this is my way of bringing myself to the table. And there's nobody else on the planet who's like you. There's nobody else on the planet who's like me with those particular combination of gifts, talents, skills, assets, resources, right? Each of us has this innate brilliance within us, which is our true essence, which is the part of us that only we can do and only we can create in the world. And with that comes a great deal of fulfillment and ease and fun, because we're not fighting against ourselves, you know?
Almost like a curiosity into your passions, you're saying.
That's right.
Example about cooking is one that I always miss as well. I'm not particularly a creative cook, but it can be in other ways. But yeah, for some people, it can just really be cooking that meal. And like, I like what you said about combining those ingredients and like, really pulling something together. That's amazing. I love that. So yeah, I guess, obviously with the like mental health space as well, that lots of people you're kind of touching on a little bit, are quite like start kind of not in touch with their true essence. For you, did you find that you were creative, but was there anything you had to go through in the process, or you've seen from other people, like being able to connect with themselves in other ways apart from creative expression?
Great question. I think in all the years that I've been doing this work, one of the things that always strikes me is how unique and how individual each person's journey is, right? So yes, I pursued creativity. I also spent a lot of years in therapy, talk therapy, and that's not for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, each person sort of is, you know, drawn to the things that they are already interested in. And so, you know, I think that sometimes I see, you know, people getting involved in community and hearing other people's stories, right? I think that the notion of feeling alone in our stories, like we're the only person who's going through this, right? And so one of the things I've witnessed is people who are involved in community, where they're able to see that what they're going through has similarity to what others are going through. And that sort of shared experience and that shared connection, I think, can offer people a sense of not only feeling so alone, but also finding a little more confidence to, oh, okay, well, if I'm not the only one going through this, then maybe I can find a little more courage or a little more confidence to explore more of my story, my journey, what I'm going through. And I think that connection and community is, you know, it's one of our basic needs, right, as human beings. So I love this idea of finding support and finding more, I don't know what the right word is, but like finding more of our stories in other people's stories. And that can help us to find our way back to ourselves as well.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the power community, and particularly ideally in person if I can as well. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunity with Zoom. But yeah, even like things like men's group could be really useful, or around like people wanting to do deep work on themselves on like a retreat, like I was in Peru last year and everyone doing some like deep work on themselves. It's just, it's powerful for me personally. But yeah, I really resonated with what you said about it being individual to each person. And I think I've definitely been in the trap of like just trying to follow a certain like sequence or what I think I should be doing because I'm trying to role model someone who's done really well in their life, but maybe it doesn't work for me. So I think that's what you're saying with the creative expression and generally like that mental resilience, it's or bouncing back, it's kind of what's going to be specific to you.
That's right. And I think the idea of going within to what you were expressing about, like, you know, all the different ways that you've sort of been looking within and sort of doing a deep dive, right? Like, ultimately, in my experience, life is an inside job. You know, we have everything we already need inside us in order to become our truest selves and live our fullest lives. And that is individual to each of us. But I think a lot of times we're sort of taught to look outside of ourselves for the answers, you know, and sort of say, okay, well, somebody tell me what I need to know, or give me a magic pill to make me feel better, right? Whatever. There's so many different ways in which we tend to go outside of ourselves. And so the ways in which each of us can find a pathway in. I truly believe that in all the years that I've done the work that I've done and all the folks that I've had the honor of helping, is that when we find a way to go within, that's where we can tap into our true essence. That's where we can tap into this sense of confidence and knowing that what we're doing is right for us because we're aligned with ourselves. We're not trying to do what somebody else is doing, which is going to feel like wearing somebody else's clothes, right? It's never going to fit quite right. But going within, that's where the confidence comes, because you're aligning with who you really are. And you're not going to need to look outside of yourself and be comparing yourself as much to other people, because that self-knowledge, that's that inner knowing, is sort of the greatest key to confidence, in my opinion, that I've witnessed over the years, and certainly I've felt within myself. The answers aren't out there. They're within, you know?
Yeah. Also trying to, and great marketing makes you think you need the answers. A lot of the time, there's some very great marketers out there that make you think you need their stuff to kind of move forward sometimes. Although sometimes, obviously, I'm always a fan of, at the same time, massively investing in myself, but to as a way to kind of get, you know, more aligned with me and, you know, have that support and resources rather than I needed it something externally. But I've been guilty of many times not looking inside, and so I think it's a really good point considering where we're, you know, we're in a very competitive society, right?
Yeah. I think it's just kind of how our society is, to your point, you know. We're sort of already coming into this world with this kind of societal expectation or tone already in place. We kind of inherit that belief system, right? That we have to be in competition with other people. We have to be the best, whatever, you know, as opposed to, we're not taught to be our best selves. How do we find happiness and joy by being our best selves, you know?
I love that. Yeah. And linked to that, like, one thing that I've certainly found working with people, coaching people in the past and my own journey, is this kind of inner critic, which is always, I've personally found, an ongoing journey, right? There's different ways to manage that relationship, and I've learned lots of people. For you, did you find creative expression help with working with the inner critic?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, one of the things that occurred to me as I was sort of going through the creative process, both as a young person and as a professional, was that inner critic would always come up the moment I wanted to try something new, the moment I wanted to expand myself, become a bigger version of myself, try to sort of spread my wings into something, you know, beyond where I was. And I kept running up against the same, like, repetitive experience where I would feel very anxious, very much like I didn't have permission to do that. I would also kind of sabotage my process, right? Like, oh, wait, you don't actually need to try that. You know, let's just stay here. And so as I started developing this work more and more, I realized that the question was that we should be asking ourselves is, where does the inner critic come from? What's the origin story of the inner critic, right? We all kind of know this idea of like, oh, tell your inner critic to shut up or whatever, right? You got to shut that down. But I think understanding where the inner critic comes from is key to being able to work with it and to be able to work around it. And so using creative expression, how I really was able to do for myself and how I help people do as well, is to write a story about what that inner critic might be, where it comes from. Draw a picture of what that inner critic looks like, right? We all have this past with, like we were mentioning before, you know, an authority figure who told us we had to be a certain way, a teacher who told us that we were terrible at drawing, so we should never be an artist, a classmate who embarrassed us on the playground, and we totally like ingested that as a critic that we carry forward with us into adulthood. And so we can use creative expression as a way to sort of curiously, and I love that you used that word not too long ago, this curiosity, instead of like feeling like we have to shut that inner critic down and say, get, you know, go away from here, let me do my own thing. If we start to be curious about the inner critic through these different creative means, you know, and we can come up with discovering that in our own way. You know, you could write some lyrics about what the inner critic is. You could, you know, like I say, I always am a big fan of movement, you know, like express that feeling of what that inner critic, how it holds you back, how it keeps you hostage to your own limitations, right? And so using the creative process to be curious and say, okay, instead of only thinking of the inner critic as this horrible thing, what if I said, let me get curious and find out what its job is? Why is it still so prevalent in my life? And by investigating that and getting curious about that, then we have the opportunity to work with it. And I'm not saying that it won't ever continue to come up when we try to expand and grow into the next version of ourselves, but we'll be able to recognize, oh, that's just my inner critic. I know what that is. And you don't have to believe it. You can stop believing what the inner critic says to you because you understand its origin. You understand that it came from something in your growing up years that made you immediately start to believe that you weren't worthy of love or of acceptance or of appreciation. All of these things that our inner critic keeps us so small about. So I always, you know, and in the book, I have a bunch of exercises, creative exercises to help people sort of playfully start to tease out where that inner critic comes from. But I think we're all creative beings. And so if you just ask yourself the question, well, how could I find out where my inner critic comes from? I think each of us will create our own activities and our own pathway in to discover that. And it's so empowering because then you know what holds you back and you know how to work with it. And then you can start to grow into more and more of your brilliant self because you've become aware and conscious of pieces and parts that are holding you back. It's really cool. It's really powerful. And it's fun. It doesn't have to be horrible. Again, going back to this, it doesn't have to be so hard. It can be playful and curious and fun.
I love that. Yeah, it's, for me, I relate as well. And, you know, and sort of learning a lot about the inner critic over the years, it's For me, it always pops up in that place of like really trying something new or growing. I think like even when jumping into like a sales role, I think it was at its most then, because it's like, oh, you're an idiot. They can, you know, they completely, they completely out, you know, you were weak on that. It's all that kind of chat. And like, I remember in project management career as well, it's a bit like that. It's like, oh, you're too weak to speak to them. You haven't got any of this. And then it's just working through that and then developing that confidence. But I love how I'm a big fan of not trying to like push stuff away, like this kind of like almost this positivity, this like where you just ignore the negatives, but I just, in my case, it's popped back even worse. So actually building that relationship, and it can be through this expression, this creative expression you're talking about, drawing and writing. So highly excited about checking out your book, and definitely going to recommend that to the listener to have a look at as well, which we're going to link in the show notes as well. We'll touch on that in a second. So Lane, just before we sort of like wrap up today, I just want to ask you, what is your, it could be something you've said today, it could be something new, but if you were to give your number one confidence tip to the listener, what would it be?
I think it is sort of the essence of kind of what we've been talking about the whole time, which is each of us has everything we already need inside us to be our best self, to access our best life, to also navigate the ups and downs of the journey. I think that that's reality, right? We can't just sort of will ourselves to always be happy or to always have this perfect life. Part of the journey is having tools and resources to be able to go with the flow of whatever life brings. And we're constantly sort of in this cycle of growing and changing and emerging and going through difficult things that then help us learn and grow again. And so I think that's the thing that always resonates with me the most is we already have what we need. And it's just finding pathways in to access that inner wisdom, that inner knowing, that inner confidence, and that inner brilliance that each of us has. And, you know, the answers aren't out there. We each of us can bring our fullest selves to the table by going within. Mm. And that's something that can make us not only feel confident, but can also make us feel safe in our lives. And I think that that's a really important thing. When we know we already have what we need, we can feel safe and supported and have more trust in ourselves and in the journey of life. And that's kind of everything, isn't it? Having that inner sense of safety and support.
Creating your own safety and confidence from internal, being in control of that. Love that. So yeah, Lane, I know obviously we've touched on the book a couple of times. But yeah, for the listener, if they want to reach out to you, find out more about your work, they want to find a book, where can they find you or the book?
So the easiest place to find me is just my website, which is my name, lanegardner.com. There's tons of resources there. You can find the book there. You can download my free toolkit to get you started, creative toolkit to kind of try it out, see how you think about it, how it works for you. You can also find my nonprofit there, which is it's called Thread, and it's a nonprofit that brings the power of creative expression to communities who are struggling in a traumatic way, whether that be communities who are affected by gun violence or affected by any kind of difficult situation where there's a community that are kind of coming together with that particular experience. So the nonprofit you can find there too. I'm always welcoming people to reach out to me about bringing this work to more and more folks who need it, both individually and collectively. And the book is called Lifeline, Recovering Your Mental Wellness Through Uncovering Your Creative Brilliance. You can get it through my website. You can get it on Amazon, both in Kindle and in paperback version. It just came out, so I'm always trying to push to get it into more and more hands. And so if any of your readers feel compelled to pick it up, please feel free to share it with other people, write a review if it resonates with you, because you know, this is the way in which we can sort of continue to grow the concentric circles of wellness, which we all need.
Love it, Lane. Very going to be very excited to have a look at the book as well. So be looking for my copy in a moment after this.
Awesome.
So cool. Thanks once again, Lane, for coming on today. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Johnny. My pleasure.
Everything you shared. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.